For straight paths, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you took us out of that which was crooked, and you made us straight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you made straight the gate of life, Lord. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Straight is the gate, a narrow the way. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are that gate, Lord. You are the way, Lord Jesus. You're the way, the truth, and the life. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Yes, Lord, we worship you this morning, for thou alone are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, let the fire fall in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. This morning, we appreciate Calvary, Lord. We appreciate your loving kindness is better than life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. It's better than love. Better than love, my love.
This morning, praise God before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your promise for two or three of us is gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing this morning. We receive your blessing. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, and we praise you and worship you. That 2,000 years ago, you conquered death, hell, and the grave. You're risen, glorified, ascended, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we come this morning boldly by the new and living way, by the rent veil, by the blood of an everlasting covenant. From your footstool into your presence in the name of the Lord. We say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kissed, sanctify us, and we praise thy name. Fill us, everyone, again with the Holy Ghost and fire. Give strength, give comfort. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, for this family that's having this funeral today, the Boyd family, may you strengthen them. May you bless them. May you comfort them. For every widow in this room, give courage, give strength. For there's going to be a meeting in the earth that's sweet by and by. You went to prepare a place for us, and you promised, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes. We thank you, Lord, you're coming again. Help us to be that people, we pray. Oh, Lord, I take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And I thank you that you do. Bind every work of the devil. And come against the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of opposition in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse colds, flus, headaches, backaches, toothaches, leg aches. I ask you for a mighty touch upon your people. By your wounds, we're healed. We decree it. We say it. Lord, your bread when it's broken for the healing. We pray as we take this communion, you'll heal people. You'll deliver people. You'll set them free, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, we've come to thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Yes, Lord. Because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. Bless us now. Bless your word, for it is blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I want you to shake hands, whoever's beside you, and say, all is well.
All is well.
Praise God. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. You know, after 30 years of preaching, you think, what are you going to preach on? But I have the opposite problem. There's not much to preach on. And I tell you, when you get started and studying and stuff, and then it opens up and opens up and opens up. And the Bible, there's no other book like that. You can read any book you want. When you read it once or twice, it's read. But when this Bible, you read it, after years and years and years, you still want to read it more. It still opens up because this is a living word. This is God's word. Praise God. You pray first, the Lord each bless each one, and me and Brother John appreciate all your support. We're going to be going into Adelaide, Australia to a convention. Then Brother John will be going into America, Philadelphia, Arizona to preach as well. And I'll be going into Melbourne to preach. And then from Melbourne into New Zealand. And we need the Lord's help. But it's available. You know, I felt this morning that God's showing me what His people need, a series of messages. They're going to be called the build-up messages. I'm serious about this. And it's all about the Son of God. All about the Son of God. And you know, I was thinking, and I'm guilty of it, sometimes we think we have to do something to get it. You may be seated, it. Praise God. You know, a lot of people quote from Daniel, and they say that Daniel fasted 21 days, and he was withheld the blessing. And then we need a fast for 21 days to get the blessing. But God's been showing me that's not accurate. Because we're not under the Old Testament no longer. Jesus conquered the devil on the cross, and it can be ours now. Without fasting a day, you can have it. It's like salvation. You don't fast to get saved. Jesus has already paid for it, and you can have it if you believe it. And I believe that this morning, that Satan is defeated. Amen. He is already defeated. He's an eternally defeated one, because the Lord defeated him, and you can have the victory. Praise God. God bless you. You pray for us as we prepare for all the different meetings. I don't know many services. We're going to be having all together and all this trip, and just pray that somebody will get saved. That's the most important thing, that somebody gets saved. You know, who watched that testimony? Amen. You know, that testimony really helped me, because, you know, when Sister Jenny rang me to come and pray for Brother Rock, and I got there, I had to be honest, a peace come on me. A real peace. And I felt I wasn't praying good enough or right enough, but I couldn't. And I can't explain that, but there was a peace come on me. But I'm convinced now he was looking at me. And I believe he was gone. And he was watching down on me. And you that was there, he was already gone. And I believe that this morning with all my heart. And I know God could have raised him up. But God chose not to do it. And he's went to be with the Lord. You know, me and Matthew and Colin as well was talking to a man a few weeks ago, and this man's not even claiming to be a believer, but he said there's a fellow lives near him over the country here, and this wee man took a book down and he wrote every death in that book, whether it was a baby or an old man or a woman, every single death over his lifetime, he wrote it all down, and he averaged it out. And what was the average age? 70. 70 was the average. And the Bible says you're allotted 70 years and 10 extra for raising the health. And we don't know how long we've got, but the important thing is that you've got the Lord. And you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the important thing about it, that you've got the Lord. That's the most important thing. Nobody knows tomorrow what it holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. The Lord does. And that's the most important thing of everything. And I believe in healing. But I've said it before, I could pray for you and you'd be healed. And next week you could get sick. But when you're saved, I want you to really get this. I'm hammering this more than ever, that it's not by works. So many people condemn themselves when they make a mistake or someone goes wrong. But you're not paying for it. Jesus already paid for it. Your salvation's been completely paid for. There's nothing you've got to do. It's been paid for. It is yours. It's not down to you. It's all down to Him. And we are perfected through Him by one sacrifice. By one sacrifice. We are perfected forever through that one sacrifice. Let me read a scripture this morning. I want to read Hebrews 9. And you know, I love the book of Hebrews. And I got into this. I went up last night and started preparing a message. And I come back on this message I had prepared. And I had so many thoughts this morning in a whole series of messages about the Son of God. They're really deliverance messages. Maybe the Lord will help us and we'll get them. But let's read from verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling on the unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want you to pause for a moment and I want you to write down, if you've got notes, write this down. This is important. Purge your conscience. Amen. Under the old law, an animal sacrifice could not purge the conscience. Couldn't do it. Do you know why it couldn't do it? Because it only covered sin for a season. The old sacrifices only covered sin for a season. But the blood of Jesus washes it away completely. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is as force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats and the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And verse 22 is my verse. And almost all things are by the law purged of blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And that means almost everything, the blood come on it. Almost everything in the Old Testament. And without the shedding of blood was no remission. So when a man preaches that we don't need the blood no longer, you know he's a false prophet. You've got to go to this verse. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Jesus Christ's blood reached the whole way to heaven. We couldn't go to heaven, and I'm going to tell you even better, and I've preached it before. Those in the Old Testament were held in a realm called Abraham's bosom. And they could not come out of it till the blood was shed. And when the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, he emptied Abraham's bosom. He emptied it. But it couldn't be emptied till the blood reached heaven. And as the earthly things were sprinkled by the blood of a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon, so were the heavenly sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Now, I haven't got time to go all into the sermon about sprinkling. I preached on it before about the sprinkling of the blood. Now, if you're going to preach that the blood of Jesus is stifled and congealed and dried up, you can't sprinkle blood that's dried up. But Christ's blood's not dried up. Amen. And you need to get out of your head the concept. What a preacher said to me, flesh and blood can enter heaven, Paul me said. I said, I know that. But I say you're working with something different when you're working with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus is not ordinary blood. It's not Jewish blood. It's not Gentile blood. It's supernatural blood. It's the blood of God. And it can enter heaven because it's not defiled. Doesn't it say separate from sinners undefiled, which feedeth not away? That's what it says. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You can mark these down. I'm not turning them for the sake of time this morning. Leviticus 16, 7 to 20. Numbers 9, 3 to 5. And these are scriptures in the Old Testament where you will read where they sprinkle the blood on the veil. And they sprinkle the blood on all the instruments. Now, if you remember when I preached on the tabernacle series, it's so important to know these things because then you can understand when you read Hebrews. And when you know about the tabernacle, you'll understand when you read Hebrews what the apostle's talking about. But you know, one of the greatest things for me in all of that tabernacle series is this. The brazen altar of sacrifice. That's where your sacrifice was placed in the midst of it. And the midst of it is 3 cubits high, but the midst of it's 1.5 cubits. And everything is 1.5 cubits high through the tabernacle. The height remains the same because Jesus Christ is Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But every other vessel in the tabernacle, your cups, your spoons, your pots, your pans, all fit in the brazen altar of sacrifice because every single thing is contained in Jesus Christ alone. Did he get that? Isn't that wonderful? It's all in Christ. Amen. Everything. From Genesis to Revelation runs as scarlet blood runs. Right through the Bible continually tells a story of redemption. Life is in the blood, the Bible says. Genesis 9, 4. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. That's why the Bible tells you not to eat blood. Don't drink blood. Don't eat blood. And I know, well, I won't mention the name this morning, but there's some places that sell food and they use blood to make their gravy. Now, most of us go to it. You know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says you're not to eat blood because it's sacred in the eyes of God. Now, I know it's the Old Testament. You can eat anything you pray over, but I still think it's a good thing if you don't do it anyhow. Amen. Maybe not many agree with me this morning, but it makes no difference anyhow. It's like bacon. I like bacon, but bacon's not good for you. It's proven that bacon's not actually good for you. Bacon's bad for some people. Now, there's a certain thing in my body, and I'm not going to go into this morning. If I eat a lot of bacon, something happens to me. And my dad was the same. The exact same. It gives me a condition. But if I don't touch it, I have no problems. But bacon gives me it. I'm not saying don't eat bacon. It won't affect you. Eat away at it. Pray over it. Wigglesworth was asked to pray over a pig and a spit one time at a convention. And he says, God, if you can bless, would you curse, go ahead. And they all looked at him. Because you know God cursed. The pigs were cursed and run into the swine. Amen. And you heard me tell you about Ham's another thing. I don't even want to mention this morning, but it's not the actual ham, it's what to put into ham. There's poison in a lot of the foods we're eating today. They're contaminated with stuff that keeps them good. You know, who likes honey in here? There's nothing like honey. Now, I know because when I kept my pigeons, one of the things I did was I used honey. And I got honey from every shop, and when I put it in the pigeon's drinker, it was black the next morning. So I knew it's an additive in it. But when I went, where you get genuine honey, proper honey, and I put it in there, it never turned color. You can leave it a couple of days and it doesn't go black because there's no additive in it. You see, they want to contaminate everything. Amen. That's the devil. The devil takes the truth, but then he twists it to contaminate it. He's a distorter. But Jesus gives you the full truth, and the truth makes you free. Hallelujah. Amen. The full truth makes you free, and it's good for you. Amen. And honey sure is good for you. Honey and lemon, they say it's two real good things for the body. Now let me read you this loose from sin. I'm quoting from Revelations 1 verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In his own blood. Loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? But are you spiritually minded? Did he catch it? It was his own blood that loosed us completely from our sins. It was not human blood. It was the blood of God. Peter called it the blood of Christ. Paul called it the blood of the Lord and the blood of Jesus. Not three persons, but God's blood. Amen. There is the revelation again. One God, that omnipotent Jehovah God, came down and made himself a body by means of the virgin birth and indwelt it. That it might be the blood of God that would free us, loose us entirely from our sins, present us spotless before him with exceeding great joy. His own blood. Would you like an Old Testament type? Let us go back to the Garden of Eden. When the first news came to glory that the son Adam had been lost, did God send an angel? Did God send a son? Did he send another one like unto us? No, he came himself to redeem us. He became us that we might become him. The only begotten son of God, but he was born of the virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. Many people don't believe in the virgin birth, but the virgin birth is an absolute fundamental doctrine of the Bible. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost. And that was God's creative blood cell in there. Therefore, that blood's of the Father, which is God. And you know, a lot of people pray, Holy Mary, the mother of God. But God can't have a mother. He can't have a mother. He's no beginning. He's no ending. He's no asset. He's no descent. Even before he was known as God, he was a self-existing one. He became God when he made the angels to worship him. He came himself to redeem us. Praise God. God didn't entrust the plan of salvation to another. He trusted only himself. God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us to redeem us. Unto himself, we're saved by the blood of God. The eternal God indwelt a mortal body in order to take away sin. He became the Lamb in order to shed his own blood and enter in within the veil. Consider this. Since it is the blood of God, it's perfect blood. Listen to this morning. It is perfect blood, loosing us from the power and the bondage of defilement of sin. Then the loosing is perfect and complete. There is now therefore no condemnation. Now what Romans says, Romans 8, 33 to 34, who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who justified you? God did. God justified you so nobody can condemn you. You're not saved on a point system. There's some people think they're on a point system, but you're not saved on a point system. You're saved because of what Christ done. You're saved. It's a free gift. You never done nothing to get it. There is now no condemnation. How can there be? There is nothing to be condemned for because the blood is loosed just from sin. We are free, guiltless. Don't listen to man. Listen to the word. You're loosed by the blood. Sins of your past, sister's gone. The sins of your youth, brother's gone. They're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. You're a free agent. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Amen. There could be a police record today and all sorts of records, but Jesus' blood cleanses me from all sin. I'm not under condemnation, I'm under justification. Did you get that? It's not condemnation, it's justification. Do you know what justification means? When God looks at you, when God looks at me, it's as though you never done it in the first place. Because he took your judgment, he took your hell, he took your punishment. And he says, here, come to me and I'll save you. And as soon as you come, he saves. And he saves for all time and all eternity. You don't get tied again down by traditions and creeds and organizations. Don't be led astray by listening to those that deny the power of the word and deny Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost. Don't get tangled with that. Stay with the word of God. Stay with the truth, for the truth to make you free. You're God's free men and women, loose by his own blood. If you still hold your faith to creeds and denominations, it is certain by the evidence that you have lost faith in the Word. If you're putting your faith in anything else, you've lost faith in the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you this morning, and I'm excited, and I need to calm down a bit. Who gets excited when you hear the Word of God? If it doesn't excite you, something's wrong. Boys, it gets you excited. But I was studying, and you know, the Roman Catholics call it a bloodless sacrifice. A bloodless sacrifice. And they say they're doing, the priest does what he calls the act of transubstantiation. He re-offers Jesus Christ in a bloodless sacrifice. But I want to tell you that there is no such thing as a bloodless sacrifice in this Bible. But the Bible says without the shedding of blood, it's no remission. And the priest's offering is priestcraft. Therefore, it's witchcraft. Amen. It's a false offering. And he can never re-offer Christ. Never. Because Jesus Christ was offered up once and for all and can never be re-offered again. The work is completed. The work is done. God was satisfied and God was pleased. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What an atonement. What a redemption. Through the blood of an everlasting covenant, we have what Revelation's called the everlasting gospel. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. My, I don't want a bloodless offering this morning. But I tell you, when they bled them lambs and they carried them over their shoulder, the blood was running down the priest's back. And they bled them into the basin. And they took the blood out of the basin. And they sprinkled the veil and all the things of the Old Testament tabernacle. And then when Moses came up on the day, the angel was going to come through and smite the people dead. God visited him and God spoke to him. And God said, Moses, you're going to take a lamb for every single house. It has to be a lamb without blemish. It has to be a lamb without spot. And you're going to bleed the lamb. And you're going to put the blood in the basin. But Moses, it's not enough that it's bled. It's not enough that it's in the basin. But it must be applied upon the lintels of the doorposts of the house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It has to be seen. God required it to be seen. The father could see it in the basin. The mother could see it. But it was no good. It had to be applied with a hyssop over the door and over the lintels of the doorposts, up the sides and over the top, all around. And the blood of Jesus Christ washes you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet by faith. You're clean by the blood of Jesus Christ washes you clean. And the devil hasn't one inch on you. And he's a liar, tells you he has. You're free this morning. Because of the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I tell you, when that old death angel was coming over, and he come to the first house and he seen the blood, his knees knocked one of another and he started to shake because he's afraid of the power of the blood. Amen. Revelation says he overcame him. Amen. The devil. He overcame the devil. By the power of the blood and the word of the testimony. Yes. That's how you overcome the devil, the blood. Yes. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, when you make a mistake, all you have to do is say, Lord, wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. Peter calls it the precious blood of Jesus. It says you're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and such as gold, but as of a lamb without spot and blemish, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Precious blood. Oh, I agree with C.H. Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon said, a man that doesn't preach the blood, I have only one thing to say about him. Never go to hear him. Never. For he has no message. There's people this morning in their meeting in big churches with big steeples, with stained glass windows with fancy pews and fancy decorations, but they're meeting at a bloodless altar with a bloodless message, with no power, with no gospel, with no Holy Spirit. It's a dead, stagnated system. But I thank God this morning we're meeting at God's altar of mercy. Jesus is the mercy seat. We're gathered at the mercy seat. We're gathered in the name, in God's chosen place of worship. Write it down. Write it down. God's chosen place of worship. It's where he put his name. And he put his name in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he put his name. His name is in the person of Christ. And that's his chosen place of worship, where two or three is gathered in my name. Amen. I am in the midst. And not to bless. I tell you, it's in the name this morning. Amen. There's life for a look at the crucified one. Hallelujah. Amen. There's life at this moment for you. Oh, sinner, won't you look and receive it? Receive it when you look at him that died on the tree. I tell you, if they could look at an old brazen serpent and be healed, how much more can you be healed when you look on Jesus, the mighty Savior, the mighty to save, the mighty to heal? 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bear our sins in his own body, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes, that means wounds, we were healed. Hallelujah. The Lord's paid the price for your healing, for my healing. God loves you. God loves you. God's love's everlasting. God's love's eternal. God is love. For the Bible says it. God is love. God told you he loved you, and he still loves you. And it doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. So wide, so high. That's God's love. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten. That means special, unique son. He's not just our son. He's a special son. He's a unique son. God was in him, not just in part, but in fullness. It was God in flesh manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save nobody but sinners. Thank God for that this morning. Jesus came to save nobody but sinners. Praise God. Ain't the Lord good? Yeah. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation. That means the full atonement. The full atonement. When you read that and I say the full atonement, there's nothing needs put in with it. It's complete. Hallelujah. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believeth in Jesus. God is a just and a justifier. He justifies you. Do you ever hear, get in the row with somebody, and then one boy says, he tried to justify himself. Nobody's ever heard that phrase. That boy tried to justify himself, but sure, you know he can't do it. None of us could justify ourselves as far as our life and works go, but we are justified because of him. Through his atonement, we're justified. I tell you, the devil's no hold on you this morning. He's a bluff. He's a liar. Praise God. Jesus' propitiation, or appeasing for God for us. That's what it means. He pleased God. Now, I'm not down on the Catholic people. You know that. I love them. I have Catholic friends. But the system is wrong. It's wrong. It's false. It's priestcraft. And I tell you, it doesn't please God. It doesn't please God. And not only that, any other system. When some other religion moves up and God works with it, then they denominate. Then they'll tell you, I belong to this. I'm saved because of a certain message. I'm saved because of a certain movement. It's just as guilty as the other. Christ is the one. He's the only one. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a warning when it gets away from him. We need to get back. The Holy Spirit's pulling us back. He's bringing us back to the place called straight. 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 Straight is the way. Now is the way. Few there be that find it. Don't go after the scarecrows here. Scarecrows here. I don't care what they think of me over here, over there. Like, I can't worry about any of them things. I have to concentrate here. Right here. On the Word of God. Preach Jesus. I'm convinced. Many years ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, preach me more. Preach Jesus more. That's what I'm trying to do. He didn't preach anything else more. He said, preach Jesus more. Because he says, if I be lifted up, with me over the people. Who? Jesus. Jesus must be waved over the people. I'll tell you, he'll deliver you. He'll set you free. The law demanded obedience or death. Jesus, a son of man without sin, and son of God with power. He done both. He gave both. He was obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Death had no claim on him. Hear this. Write it down. Write this down. Death has a claim on every single man born of a woman. Because we're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ is that man that death had no claim on. Death had no claim on. Because he had no sin. He had no original sin. He had no sin there and then. He knew no sin. He had no sin. But he that had no sin, he that knew no sin, became sin for us. He took your sin. He took my sin. He took your place. He took my place. And he took it the whole way to the cross. And in the 3 hours of darkness, he went through your hell. He went through my hell. And at the end of it, he cried out, it's finished. Hallelujah. And the veil rent from the top to the bottom. And the way was made into the holiest of holies. A new and living way through the precious blood of Jesus. I tell you, death had no claim on him. And we're working with someone this morning that perfects us. Perfects us. Oh, thank God this morning for that. He's coming for us. I'm going to have it close because I want to do the communion. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. Oh, I'm excited this morning. Praise God. Brother Larry's going to be preaching tonight, and pray for Brother Larry. 1 Corinthians 11. Look, the time's just went. But I want to give time that we do communion and you're saved and serving the Lord and walking with God, you protect. And listen, I said it. We're going to have baptismal services soon. When the weather picks up a bit, we're going to do it this year. We're going to go up Newcastle or somewhere and we'll have an outreach day. Get the guitars going, brothers. And all you young lads, everybody in. Anybody wants baptized, according to this Bible, we're going to go and have a real baptismal service. We'll have a bit of a sing song up the beach somewhere and get a place looked out where we can have some water baptisms like they did in the Bible. Praise God. Praise God. Let's read this. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. This bread and this wine is only to represent Christ. I've no power that turns this into the literal physical body of Christ. I don't need to. This is a remembrance. But as you partake of this bread in remembrance and this wine in remembrance, the Bible says the bread is given for the children's healing. If you have anything not right in your life, before you take, just pray a simple prayer where you're sitting. When we're going to have a sister come and play, maybe. And we're going to have time to pray. And then I'm going to do communion. Your brother's going to come and we'll have a little time. If somebody wants to pray, just tell the Lord to forgive you. You don't have to pray out loud or anything. And you partake of it. You partake of it. And if you need a touch in your body, I want you to pray this morning. James says, let him that's afflicted pray. That's what James says. So if you're afflicted in your body, as you partake of this, you say, Lord, I'm afflicted. Heal me as I partake in Jesus' name. I'll tell you, God can do it. Many times I've went away in secret and prayed, and the Lord's healed me. Many times. God is able to do it. You know, I never knew this, and I never heard this before until this morning. But T.L. Osborne had a heart condition. He never told nobody for 5 years. And he was doing his conventions and he couldn't hardly preach or anything. And he couldn't even finish the meetings. He was so weak in his feet. His heart was going at the wrong speed. Something wrong with the heart. And he went for a holiday and a break out by himself where he could lay in the sun to relax. And he got up and he was falling on his feet. 5 years he had this condition. But he said he never told nobody because he was preaching healing. And he wouldn't let the devil condemn him, he said, because he's preaching healing. But in that room, he began to pray by himself. And the Lord Jesus healed him. And he said his heart just started working normal. He says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't praise the devil. My cancer, my arthritis, it's not yours. Amen. Don't call it yours. Denounce it. Amen. Denounce it. Right. Call those things into being that aren't a result of the word. Denounce sickness. Claim your health and your wealth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we can come and have this remembrance service, this communion service. Lord, it's all about you. Hide every one of us that you may be seen, Lord. Father, bless this bread and sanctify it. Bless this wine and sanctify it as we partake of this bread and this wine. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll do something on people this morning. Lord, I pray that colds and flus will go. That sickness will go. Pains will leave bodies. That people will be healed, made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, restore the backslidden. Save the lost. And get thyself all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, as we come to worship, inspire men and women and the Spirit to move. In this house, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Maybe the deacons could come and have your sister could just come and play something.